In her youth, Anna Sagal saw herself as a hippie child, but as she bounced around Europe with her parents, she unwittingly developed the sensibilities that have paved her career.
I flew down to Guatemala with $1,000 in my pocket and traveled on the bus. Basically, it started with all Guatemalan merchandise, shirts, backpacks, belts, hacky sacks, you name it, all things bright and beautiful. And that was the beginning of Ad Lib.
Sagal opened Ad Lib Clothing 35 years ago in Boone and moved her boutique to Asheville at a time when there wasn't much else downtown.
Trends come and go. I feel like my customer wants clothes that she is going to enjoy today and they're going to last and she will enjoy them for years to come.
Drop into Ad Lib Clothing on Haywood Street, celebrate the shop's anniversary all through April, and find out why Anna Sagal isn't slowing down, even after 35 years.
It still amazes me that Ad Lib has become my life and that it has brought so much joy to so many women, and Ad Libbing it has worked for me.
I am a maker, a builder, a baker, although sometimes my messes are all that you'll find. I'll tell a story, both true and allegory.
Just last week, Asheville City Schools voted to merge Montford North Star Academy into Asheville Middle School. The move will reduce the district's $4.5 million budget shortfall by as much as half, but it also raised a lot of anger, sadness, and questions from affected parents.
I just want to speak to all of the chaos that has been happening at Asheville City Schools and the closing of Montford North Star. Just the fact that it is this district of choice with elementary schools that parents can choose, there's a lot of value in that, in being able to understand your child and be able to send your child to a situation that makes the most sense for them.
This is The Overlook with Matt Pikin, a podcast about the news, arts, issues, and trends of Asheville, North Carolina. My guest today is Greg Parlier, a reporter who covers education for the Mountain Express. We look backward and forward at the school district's decision, along with underlying trends that loom large for public schools everywhere. We talk about the impacts of charter and private schools, where things stand with a potential merger of Asheville City Schools into Buncombe County Schools, and the troubled history of this district around issues of equity. I began my conversation with Greg Parlier by asking what he witnessed at last week's meeting of the Asheville City Schools Board.
I just want to set the scene just a little bit for you. The meeting was so intense. It was probably the most intense, emotional, full meeting room of any kind of government body that I've ever been a part of.
What made it so intense?
People, especially around here, but people are very proud and attached to their schools that their children are going to. And with Montford North Star in particular, they're STEAM-based, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, project-based, really unique school. They intentionally kept the school overall enrollment low so that students that maybe felt overwhelmed in a bigger school setting like Asheville Middle School has could have better relationships with their teachers and their other students, and you could know everybody. They did a lot of projects, like recently where the kids led a trolley tour around Asheville showing what youth-centric things that could be done around town. And then they went to Cherokee recently. They did all kinds of unique things at the school, and so that's part of it. But also just the parents and the community at that school are really passionate about how the school has been run and what it's doing. So they were really engaged in this whole process, and the whole thing happened quite fast. Essentially, Montford is closing with this merger.
You said it happened fast.
Yeah.
When was it even first proposed that this merger happen?
The first time it was talked about in a public meeting was back in November, when the school district, which is facing a $4.5 million budget shortfall next year, that number didn't even come out until January. But in November, the superintendent, who is in her first year at Asheville City Schools, identified what she called a confluence of challenges, this long list of issues: expiring COVID funds, declining enrollment, meaning less money coming from the state. Those two things alone presented some big financial challenges. And also, the schools in the district, this is an older district, have had some capacity. A lot of schools are around 50 to 60% capacity in their buildings. So she saw an opportunity to potentially move some things around, do some reconfigurations to better make use of the space the district has. And the most obvious possibility for her was to consolidate the middle schools.
So the school district was facing a $4.5 million deficit, right? Yeah. And that this was going to save how much money?
This move that was just approved, she projects $1.8 to $2.5 million will be saved. So not even the whole thing, but a significant chunk of that gap.
Now, some cities have districts where you are told what school you go to based on where you live geographically, that right. You don't have a choice. Asheville right. is not such a district. You can send your child anywhere, correct?
And that's how Buncombe County Schools, the bigger district surrounding, operates. But the Asheville City Schools is a district of choice, so to speak. And each of the elementary schools, for example, have a little bit different focus. And anybody that lives within the Asheville City District can choose which of those focuses and environments they'd like to send their child to.
How old was Montford North Star School?
Not that old. 2017 was its first year. And there was a number of things that happened right in that 2015 to 2017 era of Asheville City Schools that have had a huge impact and was a big part of this decision, actually.
This school, you said parents sent their kids there because they felt that the learning environment was going to be more alignable to their kids in a certain way. It was a STEAM school. Mm-hmm. In a way, since it was so new, was it operating, even though it's part of the Asheville City Schools, but it sounds like in some ways like a charter school. It's a small, intentionally small enrollment school, which had a specific focus. Am I wrong in drawing that comparison?
It's a reasonable comparison, and that's how Asheville City School sells itself, that it is this district of choice. The five elementary schools people can choose, and also they had two middle schools, Montford North Star being the kind of smaller project-based STEAM focus. And so it did operate with a little bit of independence in that way, but certainly operated as a public school would with the oversight and financial challenges.
Now, the parents, you said they feel, as they would in any school district or most school districts, they are very defensive about their school and they chose that school deliberately. What else was contributing to the rancor, to the emotion that was behind this? Did they feel that Asheville City Schools is not looking at other options to help trim the deficit? Are there other proposals on the table that are just not getting the same weight as closing that school?
Parents largely felt everything moved way too fast. They felt like this was proposed and they would like to see other options such as the central office potentially being used as a school. There's also the recent history of Asheville Primary School closing in 2021, which was a early elementary primary school in West Asheville that was closed under similar circumstances. The facility there needed a ton of repairs, over $6 million, I believe, to continue as a school, and the board at the time chose to close it and send those kids to the other schools rather than ponying up that amount of money. So that played a role in the anger too.
Let's talk about the deficit. What are the reasons behind this? You've alluded to declining enrollment. Mm-hmm. Is this a long trend in Asheville? Is this happening in a lot of school districts? Give us some larger context to why Asheville City Schools is $4.5 million in the hole.
The enrollment, obviously the biggest part. And interestingly, I said Montford started in 2017. This is an important point. Montford was started, and they started talking about opening it in 2016 because that was the peak of Asheville City Schools enrollment. It was 4,600 at the time. And at the time, projections of enrollment for the district were going to keep going up. And at this time, there was supposed to be an extra 1,000 or so students in Asheville City Schools. Therefore, they felt like they needed another middle school and wanted to look into opening it. So that's why they opened Montford. Since 2016-2017 school year, it has drastically declined in Asheville City Schools. Over the same time period, Buncombe County Schools had also been ticking down in enrollment. But last semester, for the first time since that time, Buncombe County has leveled off and actually grew slightly in enrollment.
Buncombe County Schools handles more of the rural schools, correct?
Right.
Asheville City Schools is core of Asheville. What is this saying about Asheville's population? Because you would think once kids are in elementary school, that schools would be able to somewhat accurately project what their enrollment's going to be. These kids, X percentage of kids are going to stay in the district mm-hmm. and age with us and go through their school years with us. What was happening demographically, shifts, moving people moving away from Asheville? We've heard nothing but Asheville keeps seeing more people, population growth. Why yeah. are Asheville City schools in particular seeing a decline in enrollment?
So it must be mentioned that the district is not even complete with an enrollment and capacity study that was commissioned back in November to look at this issue in particular. So that is still ongoing. But what the superintendent has said at recent meetings and several teachers that have a long view of the Asheville City Schools District that I've spoken to for these stories say that a lot of it has to do with it's more expensive to live in the district. Families are being forced to leave the Asheville core, moving out to the county to more affordable housing. And also, birth rates are down across the country. So that is something that the superintendent has cited on multiple occasions.
Right, but the birth rates don't affect people already born and already in the schools, right?
Right.
If you're starting kindergarten with X number of students, you would think 90% of them will continue with us in first grade. I just put that figure out there. It's not from schools, it's from me. But then 90% of those would move on to second grade with us, and so on and so forth. Right. You're saying we're seeing drops. Is this across ages from kindergarten through high school? Are we seeing drops in enrollment?
Yes, the lowest amount of drop is at the high school level for Asheville City Schools in particular. There are less, for example, other options for high schools. Certainly, charter and private school enrollment has played a role, and enrollment for both of those categories are up.
Let's talk about charter and private schools. What's happening there in terms of movement? Charter schools are public schools, but they're operated differently. What's happening in terms of kids moving from Asheville City Schools or Buncombe County Schools over into charter schools or private schools?
It appears that's happening. There's no direct data to show exactly where kids are going once they leave the public school district. Hopefully, this enrollment study is going to give us some clarity on that, that Asheville City Schools is doing actively right now. But all you can do is look at trends, and you see the decline from both the public school districts in enrollment, especially Asheville City, and the charter school and private school enrollments ticking up. And there is an increase in school options for people recently. A few charter schools have been added over the last few years, including one right after the Asheville primary school closure in West Asheville that parents often cite as what could happen if more schools are closed.
I can't help but think some of this is fueled by the state legislature, which seems very motivated to increase the level of private school vouchers available. And the effect of that would be siphoning kids from public schools into private schools. What are you seeing from the state legislature that would be supporting that there's more of a push toward private school vouchers?
Certainly. Last year, the Opportunity Scholarship is what the state calls it. But essentially, it's a private school voucher program, and they have increased it. That passed last year, and I can't remember the dates now off the top of my head. I want to say it's 2030. It will continue to increase to over $500 million in the state going to private vouchers programs. And what's interesting about that change, too, is not only are they increasing the total amount that parents sending their kids to private schools can receive these vouchers to send their kids to private schools, not only is that number going up, but also people that have already sent their kids to private school, therefore they have figured out a way to afford to send their kids to private school, can apply and receive the vouchers now as well. Basically, we're writing checks to people that are already sending their kids to private schools.
That's really maddening in a sense. And you're saying $500 million by 2030. What percentage of the state education budget does that represent?
Oh, gosh. I can't remember.
That's okay. But what can you give us a... But is it a fraction? Is it a small portion? Or is $500 million a significant amount? That doesn't seem like a small amount to
me. It's not a small amount. I don't want to speak to a percentage or anything, but local education leaders are pretty infuriated by that bill being passed, and it shows the mindset of the state to move us away from public school funding. And of course, this is all with the backdrop of us having Republican candidate for governor right now that has said in public that he wants to completely defund the Department of Public Instruction and do away with it completely.
Even as it is now, as money is being siphoned away from public education, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, that the vouchers in no way, quote, pay for a private education. For instance, if you're a family that is below the median income and you have two kids, these vouchers would not be enough of a bridge to then attend private school, right? So it gives to the haves, but not enough to the have-nots.
Even with the massive increase in how much money is going to these programs, you're right. A lot of private schools are double or more the tuition that would be provided by a voucher.
Meanwhile, let's get back to some of the budget woes. How much of that is playing into the talks of merging Asheville City Schools with Buncombe County Schools? This has been a topic for a little while. I've talked with members of both school boards who are waiting to see what happens. What's your take on this, on why this would happen and what would be the impact of that?
Obviously, there's a feasibility study ongoing right now to look specifically at what the impacts would be for the local school districts, but it's quite complicated, and how the funding would change is, I'm really interested to find out more. But as far as students and enrollment, and a lot of public school parents, especially at Asheville City, have talked a lot about wanting to send their kids to charter schools if anything changes, and closing middle schools or merging with a larger district are changes that they would run from. They feel like in a smaller district like Asheville City, they have more control and more relationships with district leaders, and that's something that is really special to them and they want to keep. And the more I've covered Asheville City schools, I've come to understand that more. When I first started covering schools, I thought, yeah, there's a central office for both districts. That seems redundant. The fact that Asheville City Schools has such an issue educating its black and brown students, for example, much more so than Buncombe County, even in a more urban setting, and yet also is a special taxing district that gets more local funds than the county school district, is hard to justify in my head. So when I initially started covering it, it felt like a no-brainer, and it might still be best for the districts and the students at large. But I'm coming to understand more why people find Asheville City Schools to be so special and an intimate setting.
Can you talk a little more about that? What have you learned that is specifically, anecdotally or observationally, that has shifted your view on that?
Just this situation with Montford North Star and talking to all these different parents and attending school board meetings that are almost always packed at Asheville City, there's just this ability of a smaller district to be a little more creative. Just the fact that it is this district of choice with elementary schools that parents can choose, there's a lot of value in that, in being able to understand your child and be able to send your child to a situation that makes the most sense for them.
More after this. What if Jesus were resurrected today as a stand-up comedian? Well, he might sound a lot like Robert Duback when he brings his stand-up Jesus to the Wortham Center for the Performing Arts. The creator of the Book of Mormon is back to spread his gospel about false prophets and duplicitous politicians while redeeming sinners of all faiths. Catch Stand-Up Jesus, 8 p.m. May 3rd and 4th at the Wortham Center. Find details and tickets at worthamarts.org. Why do you think, and you mentioned, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you said Asheville City Schools is struggling with how it educates black students. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing there or not seeing? What's happening that is this friction point?
I think there's a historical story that really shows, and I'd love to share it with you if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course. And I want to tell listeners that, Greg, you are starting to work on a story about the history of educating black students in Asheville City Schools, and that's something that will appear in April in Mountain Express. Talk a little bit about what you're finding in your reporting.
And amazingly, it goes back to this Montford North Star campus. Before Montford North Star, which started in 2017, started at the Montford campus, which is right on Montford Avenue, just across the bridge from downtown, across 240. It, for 10 years, was known as the Randolph Learning Center. Still an Asheville City Schools school, but an alternative school. predominantly serving Black students. Back then, it was still a school of choice that anybody could send their kids in the district to, and it served middle and high school students. It was also project-based, really similar to how Montfort North Star presents itself, but it really focused on real-world issues and educating kids less in the textbook, but more with projects and hands-on learning. By all accounts of all the teachers that I've talked to and I've heard in meetings talking to this school, it was wildly successful, and they felt they were actually reaching students. A lot of students also were sent from Asheville High School or Asheville Middle School if they were really struggling, getting suspended often, or just struggling in the traditional school setting. And they went to this Montfort school called Randolph Learning Center, and teachers have talked about how they think they've saved lives, literally, by students who came from really difficult backgrounds, lived in public housing, or didn't have active parents at all, living with their grandparents, whatever the case may be, and really thrived at a setting like this. Now, the tragedy of what I think illustrates how the district has treated Black students over the years is in 2015, the district decided to move that school away from the Montfort campus because Isaac Dixon Elementary School, a nearby elementary, was being renovated and needed a temporary home. So they moved this elementary school in, and where do they send the students of Randolph Learning Center? They send them to trailers on the south side of town at what is now the Wesley Grant Southside Center. Those trailers, they lasted for one semester in the trailers because they were moldy, leaky, according to all the teachers that were there at the time. It was a disaster. Derek Edwards is the principal of Asheville High School now. He's been around for a long time, and he recently told the school board at a meeting last week, it's by far the worst thing that's ever happened in his tenure at Asheville City Schools.
What a blatantly racist decision, too. You're saying that this school was predominantly Black students. They were thriving there. When students at a predominantly white school needed a new campus, they made the choice, instead of moving those kids to the trailers, they displaced the kids who were already established at a school. And this is just in 2015 this happened.
2015.
That's just like yesterday.
Yeah.
What's changed in our history here? It seems like the rise of charter schools in some ways is a response to crap like that happening. You look at the Peak Academy, which is thriving, and the founders of that school, look, if we can't count on Asheville City Schools to treat us well and to educate our kids responsibly and ethically and ethnically, we're going to do it ourselves, and they're thriving. Do you think that kind of behavior, this sort of blindness, or not, if not blindness, willful blindness, is partly responsible for the rise of charter schools?
It would be hard to argue with. And I've talked to Dr. Mullen, who is on the board at Peak Academy and also the chair of the Reparations Commission right now. And he's talked about the reason Peak was founded was because of this achievement gap, and this type of thing happening in Asheville City Schools was why they decided to take it into their own hands.
Now, this is only 9 years later.
Yeah.
What sort of systemic changes have Asheville City Schools made in the way they administer schools, the way they staff them with superintendents, and who's the leadership in their schools? What's changed?
The leadership is key. Maggie Furman was hired in July of last year. She's the seventh superintendent in the last 10 years at Asheville City Schools. That's an unbelievable fact.
Turnover rate is ridiculous.
So there's been no continuity in leadership, and people that have been in the district for a long time point to that as without continuity, a new superintendent comes in with the best intentions, but has slightly different priorities, and everyone has to have this adjustment period to how the leadership changes. They all say that they've tried to close this achievement gap between Black and white students in particular, which was the worst in the state in 2017 and hasn't gotten any better. But with Dr. Furman, to her credit, she has been talking a lot and looking at this issue a lot. And I think that story about Randolph Learning Center had a big piece of why the district was pushing to close Montfort North Star in order to get this other alternative program, the Education Career Academy, which I haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that. So let's talk about that, because from what I understand, the Education and Career Academy, it houses only 32 students right now, right? That just seems like that's two classrooms of students.
Right.
What's the significance of this school? Describe this school and where it is and what purpose it serves.
So it's technically not a school, it's a program right now, because since the Randolph Learning Center, which after the trailer mishap was eventually disintegrated into the rest of the schools because it didn't have a home, and after all of that happened, the district, under different leadership, tried a couple of times to start a new alternative school modeling after the Randolph Learning Center, but admittedly smaller. So now Education and Career Academy is the latest version, and it has about 30 students, and it's a program that is right now only serving high school students that are really in trouble, getting suspended a lot or have trauma in their lives. And they're basically taking those kids away from the high school setting, putting them in a different place, and giving them really focused attention outside of the distractions of a giant school like Asheville High School.
Are kids placed there, or is this voluntary?
Right now, kids are placed there or, yeah, basically sent there from the high school.
Is this seen as a stopgap measure before they are just dropping out of school or sent to a correctional facility?
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to prevent dropouts and trying to get kids graduated. And this is like a kind of almost a last resort type of thing.
So what's the movement happening? What do proponents of this or advocates want to see happen to ECA? Do they want to see a dedicated campus? What are they trying to do?
They absolutely need a new space. Dr. Randall Johnson is the director of it right now, and he is been pleading with district leadership for their own space. Right now they're in the Eddington Center on South, on Livingston Street on the south side of town, which is owned by the City of Asheville's Housing Authority. They have a lot of other programs and they do a lot of great stuff in the community there, but it's not set up to be a school, and they have after school programs there. So the school gets kicked out at 2 o'clock every day.
The Eddington Center is a former school.
Right, but right now there's so many programs and after-school care.
Nonprofits that operate out of there.
Nonprofits. There's just not really room there to actually have their sharing space.
And when you're talking, let's reel it back to the budget woes. $4.5 million deficit. The closure of Montford North Star will save maybe 40% of that, but still a deficit. When you're talking about those things, how can any of these needs happen until this deficit closes? Anything they try to do will just add to the deficit. Are there any talks around a referendum? Anything to bring this issue to voters, saying we need more money for our schools and we can't just do it by attrition, just by cutting? Is there any talk of that, of which would go to people like me, property taxes? Mm-hmm. What talk, if any, is happening around that?
I'm not sure. At the district level, the only choice they really have is to plead with the county commission. The county commission is the one who can pass these things and is in control of all the purse strings.
Which is really funny because we're talking about merging the school districts, yet Asheville City Schools is really at the mercy of Buncombe County commissioners. Buncombe County Schools is directly reporting to Buncombe County commissioners.
In the same way the Asheville City Schools are. They're both totally independent entities. Neither one of them have control over how much money they get. Both appeal to the county commission.
So in a way, I can see where the county commission would say, why aren't we just rolling these school districts together into one if they both have to answer to us and come to us for budgeting needs? Am I correct in that? That's part of the inertia of merging?
Yes. Right now, the state mandated a study. The county has talked about this potential consolidation for years and years. But right now, they are the agency in charge of performing the feasibility study in conjunction with the two school districts. And it would seem like they might behoove them to roll it together. They've been watching this. Al Whitesides is one commissioner who has been on Asheville City Schools board previously, and it really watches this stuff closely. And it does feel like he's leaning towards consolidation. Of course, he wants to wait to see what the study shows.
Yeah, what's the timeline on this study? Any sense, or are people giving you anything concrete?
Yeah, the state law says it must be reported next February 2025.
So we're still a year out.
Still a year out.
And that's just the results of a study. Then it's like, what do we do with this information?
Right.
So any sort of policies or movement, we're talking a couple of years maybe till anything happens, right?
Probably. Once we have the study, I would think conversations will really ramp up at the county commission. The decision can either come from the state or the county level. So if for locally, it makes the most sense to lobby the county commission.
We talked about your story looking into the history of Asheville City Schools related to Black students. That's going to come out in April. Is there anything we haven't talked about or talked about enough that's in your reporting that you think we should keep our eye on?
I just want to speak to all of the chaos that has been happening at Asheville City Schools. We have the hovering consolidation study and the closing of Montford North Star. Last week also, Lucy S. Herring Elementary School, they are going through massive renovations, including HVAC and a bunch of building renovations to their school. It was announced last week that they were going to close because of these renovations. They're going to send the students to the other four elementary schools so that they could, until the renovations were finished, then reopen the school, but keep it as a school in the future. That really worried parents, especially with the talk of closing a middle school. Are we closing this school as well? Is it really going to reopen? After that, hearing from parents, Superintendent Furman said that they're going to press pause on that one, which is exactly what parents were asking for at Montford. But on Lucy S. Herring, they're pressing pause. They're going to try to figure out how to keep the school intact while renovations happen.
That's interesting, too, because the renovations, they were thinking that's going to necessitate the closing of that school, at least temporarily.
Yeah.
Nothing was happening at Montford Middle School that was necessitating closure, right?
Yeah, they didn't have a building issue. They were just, that was the district's decision on their best option for saving some money and opening up a space for that Education and Career Academy to move in.
Oh, I see. But again, the decisions based on these choices went, okay, you're talking about closing that elementary school, which needed to be closed to do these repairs, or closing the middle school, which didn't need to be closed for any repairs. It was just a choice to save money. And maybe closing the elementary school wouldn't have saved as much money. I don't know. But you've alluded to and pointed to a couple of episodes where there were clear choices facing our school district leaders, and they seem to be not seeing it as choices. It seems to be reactionary decisions, not based on A versus B, but, oh, we need to save money. Let's just do this without a comparative analysis.
Superintendent Furman said that it was reviewed on maybe they should close one of the elementary schools and go down to four. And the justification that she always said to the board was that was not going to be possible based on the capacity of the other schools. Then the Lucy S. Herring conversation is, oh, that's going to happen just for a year. So it's hard to really understand how that wouldn't be possible long term if it is possible for a year.
Yeah. And, okay, we're talking about going down from five elementary schools to four for a year versus going from two middle schools to one.
Yeah.
The math doesn't seem right on that choice.
The other part of the middle school justification was Asheville Middle School built a new campus in 2015, I want to say, and it's beautiful and huge, and they have a lot of space there. Even if they add all of Montford North Star into Asheville Middle School, they're still going to be only at 70-75% capacity in that big building. So she saw using that new facility, but closer to its maximum potential, as it made sense.
Yeah, I can see that strictly on that school. We're far under capacity. Let's bring these 220 students in, and we're still well under capacity for this new school. But they're not wrapping in STEAM education, are they? They're not changing the way that Asheville Middle School is approaching education by merging these two schools. It's really assimilating. And I'm not taking a side on this. I'm just trying to gather from what you're telling me. Taking kids from Montford North Star and the way they were learning, which was a distinct approach, a STEAM approach, which is not happening necessarily at Asheville Middle School. So they're losing that approach to education.
She has presented these ideas of how to incorporate some of Montford's strategies. And one idea is this schools approach where they have three different mini schools within a school, essentially, with different focuses, trying to imitate as well as you can. But it's very unclear how that would really work. And those were just ideas presented at recent board meetings. It'll really be up to the principal of Asheville Middle School and staff to organize.
And so the staff at Montford North Star effectively faces being laid off. Pretty much the staff, not merged in.
So the way she's presented it is the staff savings will only happen through attrition. She has promised that no one at Montford North Star is getting laid off. It seems obvious, like they'll just move to Asheville Middle School, but it's not been reaffirmed that's definitely the case yet. But she expects and plans on some staff to want to leave after this closure, and that'll help with the attrition.
Our First Look newsletter gives you just a handful of daily headlines from around the local media landscape to get you on your morning. We also have a weekly newsletter devoted to all things The Overlook that hits you every Friday. Both are free and available at podavl.com/newsletter. You can support the work I'm doing with The Overlook by joining more than 50 other listeners who have signed up to my Patreon crowdfunding campaign. You can support this show for as little as $5 a month. Find out more and sign up at patreon.com/theoverlookpodcast. I want to thank my guest today, Greg Parlier of Mountain Express. Our conversation happened inside the BB Theater in downtown Asheville, which comes to me through the good graces of Susan and Giles Collard of Asheville Contemporary Dance Theater. The theme song for The Overlook, Maker Song, comes to us courtesy of the Asheville duo The Resonant Rogues. The Overlook is a production of Podcast Asheville. New episodes come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on any social media channel at AVL Overlook. And I'll see you on the next episode of The Overlook with Matt Piken. Hey everyone, Matt Piken here from The Overlook, and I'll get back to my conversation in just a moment. But I'm asking you, the listener, yes, you, listening this very moment, is The Overlook making a difference in your connection to Asheville? Do you know more about what makes this city tick and where we're struggling? If you had to give up one cup of coffee every month to do your part to keep this show going, would you step up? If you answered yes to any of that, and I really hope you did, please join dozens of other listeners by supporting The Overlook with Matt Piken through my Patreon campaign by giving just $5 a month. Give at higher levels and you'll earn free tickets to my live podcasting events. Your support means the world to me and helps keep this show free for anyone to hear. Go to patreon.com/theoverlookpodcast.